Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Step away from the Dana Burger. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to sitcoms of the 20th century. From I Love Lucy to News Radio, I'm your TV guy, Brent White, and I'm also a reporter-producer for Decider.com. This week, I'm joined by another reporter-producer from Decider.com, Josh Sorokach.
Hey!
Hey, Josh.
Hello, Brett.
Are you actually another reporter-producer?
Wait, what's that my job title? Yes.
All the job titles are so confusing that because I always want to say writer-editor.
I think a writer might be in there, too. It might be reporter, producer.
Oh,
yeah. I think it's the same as you.
Whatever. Welcome to the show. What's your take on sitcoms?
What's your hot take on sitcoms? The more the merrier. That's a very interesting question. Well, 90s sitcoms or just sitcoms in general? Because 90s sitcoms obviously hold a place in my heart. We're near the same age. Yeah. So I grew up, that was my... basically raised by sitcoms. I was raised by the TGIF, the must-see TV.
The Tuesday night, not TGIF block, but might as well have been. On Tuesday was Full House and Home Improvement.
Oh, see, no, I was more Tuesday NBC. Like, Wings and News Radio.
I guess early 90s Frasier. Early 90s I was ABC loyalist, but then once Friends started, I became a mature fifth grader. I was like...
Well, what gets...
jumping over here.
You know what's better? This is like this is maybe too controversial for this early in the podcast, but what is... what are better sitcoms than the TGIF lineup were Hey Dude and Salute Your Shorts on Nickelodeon.
Okay, well, yeah.
Which I don't think get enough credit in the annals of history.
They're definitely... I mean, like, they're all crap in some way. They're all ridiculous. Maybe not crap, but they're ridiculous in a great way.
Well, no, I do think a lot of them are crap. Like, I don't think Full House is a good show in retrospect. I also don't think Step by Step is a good show in retrospect. But Boy Meets World still holds up.
Okay, yeah.
I also think Salute Your Shorts holds up a little bit.
Well, I can't watch those anymore. They're not streaming.
I feel like I've seen them in the past 5 years. Like, Nickelodeon reran them at some point.
Okay. Because Clarissa was on Hulu at some point.
Explains It All, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original.
I was thinking Sabrina, yeah.
The Sabrina Explains It All. Clarissa the Teenage Witch. The same show. But this week, speaking of the 90s, we are traveling to November 8th, 1991. The People Under the Stairs ruled the box office. Cream by Prince and the New Power Generation topped the charts. And ABC aired the step-by-step episode Just for Kicks. Josh, you must have seen Just for Kicks before today.
I have, but I had no memories of it while rewatching it today.
Yeah.
But I saw all those shows and every episode, essentially.
I mean, what's your history with Step by Step specifically?
Okay, so before, when you asked me to do this, and I basically had three things I remembered about Step by Step, or three things that stood out to me by Step by Step.
Yeah.
One was Cody living in a van outside, mm-hmm. like the original van down by the river guy.
Yeah.
I feel like when most people who... maybe aren't writing about pop culture as much as we do, when they think about Step by Step, it's Cody.
Yeah, it's Cody.
Is the character that
who
pops up.
He's not a main cast member until this episode, basically.
Yeah, well, until season two, I don't think he... It said on Wikipedia he wasn't made a main character until season two.
Yeah.
And he didn't appear until maybe episode four?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Four or five.
But the other... I remembered Alex, because I had a crush on her growing up, because she was my age when I was watching the show.
Christine Lecken.
Yeah, who I told you beforehand. I saw her at she was premiering some show at the New York Television Festival, and I went to see it. And it was a kind of a, Curb Your Enthusiasm style starring her. who was funny, and I saw her at the after party, but did not talk to her. The biggest regret of my life. I was like, ah, it was some
who knows
memories.
Where it could have gone.
Yeah.
Who knows where it
oh yeah, I'm
gone.
Sure. Me and Christy, what's her name? Christine Lake. Well, I'd first remember her name. I'm sure we would have been together. But the third, and which is not really evident in this episode, but maybe you can attest to this, I kind of remembered Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers always, like, wanting to bone the show. Like, they were like, the most flirtatious, amorous TGIF couple.
They are, so, like, most sitcoms will show the parents in bed, you know, because, like, the kids will come, there's a problem, you know, and it isn't, when they show Frank and Carol in bed, Carol's always wearing, like, the silkiest nightie, and then Frank is always wearing the tiniest of shorts and, like, a low-cut tank top. And it's always like, the energy coming out of that bedroom is a lot like, these newlyweds were just doing it, or are about to do it.
And that's the thing, because they're basic strangers, right?
Yeah.
So they are still in that, like, honeymoon phase. They're both very attractive people.
They're sex symbols of the 70s coming together to be parents in the 90s.
Completely accurate. But what I also don't like about the premise, or no, I do like it from a TV viewer, but I'd be very upset if I was a child, is they didn't tell... So wait, the whole premise of the show is they didn't tell their kids that they got married, right?
They got married in Hawaii or something. Like, the pilot episode is crazy, where it's like, Frank went to Carol to get his haircut a couple times, and then they ran into each other in Hawaii, and then had a whirlwind, like, two-week romance
and the
got
kids
married in Hawaii.
The kids weren't in Hawaii, so they both
just
went...
The kids were not
there. Were both of them... What happened to their other partners?
They don't really ever... I know they get into it at some point, but they are never a part of the show.
Let's just assume they died, and they're like, we're going to celebrate by going to Hawaii, and then they hooked up, and we're like, we'll just get married.
Yeah, and they come back, and the first episode is them having to, like, blend their family, and, like, JT and Dana know each other from school because JT makes fun of Dana.
Right. Well, they're hardly selfish.
Yeah.
Parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a so yeah. Like Step by Step was a show that I of course watched every Friday.
Same.
Because I watched, you know, Friday night was huge for kids to have like a whole night of sitcoms. I mean, like honestly, if you're in elementary school and Friday night, you're not going out. Like you have no autonomy. You're not gonna run off. It's not even like in middle school where your parents would drop you off at the skating rink. So I'm told, never happened to me.
I got to take the bus to the skating rink about 20 minutes away. So that was. I really, in retrospect, also should not have been doing that because it was like, not to jump too far ahead, but like the roller rink where I come from, Pennsylvania, was kind of like Jake's Bar from Step by Step. Like I should not have been there at like 12 or whatever age it was.
But like if you're fifth grade and below, Friday night was just like gangbusters night. Maybe you'd have some friends over. You'd definitely order some Pizza Hut or Domino's and you would watch 2 hours of TV. And then if you were me, you would be all equally excited for 2020.
I was not. That was always, that's why I didn't watch, we briefly spoke about this. I never watched ER because I was like, oh, that's adult TV.
No, for some reason.
No 2020, no ER for me at that
age. I was into watching 2020 every week. I mean, sometimes they would have like a Michael Jackson interview and I'd be like, yeah.
No, I was out on that.
But I remember like, I would watch these shows every week, but I don't ever recall, like, loving any of them. Like, as a kid, I know I loved, like, Muppet Babies. I loved X-Men. I never remember being like, I gotta love Step by Step. You just watched it.
Yes. That, for Step by Step, yes. But I do remember having a strong affinity for Boy Meets World and Salute Your Shorts. But everything else, I would watch it because it was on.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh. Like, they were really good at marketing. Like, if you put a show in the TGIF,
in between your anchor slots at 7 and 8 for me in the Central Time Zone.
Yeah, I would be like at 10 or 11 or however old I was. Like, oh, this is a big time show.
Yeah.
Oh, Hanging with Mr. Cooper I also really enjoyed.
I did like Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
I
played basketball, so I was like, whoa, this is the show for me.
But let's get into this week's episode. This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the step-by-step episode Just for Kicks. It is the 8th episode of season 1, and it was written by Alan Eisenstock and Larry Mintz, and directed by Richard Correll. Here's how Hulu describes the episode. Dana defies her mother and goes to a rough nightclub and immediately gets in trouble. Josh, how accurate is that description?
Very accurate. That is exactly what happens.
That is exactly it.
Good job, Hulu.
There's nothing deeper than... There's no B-plot in this.
Yeah, that's what sort of threw me while watching it.
It is just that.
That's not common. Most of these shows usually do have at least a B-plot.
And I think... I mean, we might get to it later. I'm going to say it now. But I think that is because they have a 4-minute-long fight sequence they have to jam
that's
in.
True. That's true.
So those 4 minutes that they might have dedicated to, like, Mark's weird plant weekend experiment or something. Like, no.
I wanted to see where that was going.
Yeah. It's a very big joke that Matt, like, thanks.
Hey, Mark, what about you? You have anything exciting planned?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stay in all weekend and try to recreate Mendel's experiment with hybrid plants.
Well, to be fair, Step by Step has a very large cast. So this episode was, like, large. All Dana, all Cody, and then the parents.
Yeah. So the episode starts out with Carol is arranging flowers.
Oh, my
and
God.
Dana comes in to, like, ask her if she can go see Arlo Prine at Jake's.
Yeah.
And you asked me, like, is Arlo Prine a real person? And I was like, no. But that they did such a good job of coming up with a name.
Well, also in the first two acts, they say his name, like, five times. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is a, like ABC Disney Synergy. Like, he's their new artist.
Or it's like when Shanice was on Family Matters.
Oh, and they...
And they almost became a backup singer for Shanice, I Love Your Smile.
That sounds about right. Well, that's what I thought they were doing with our good buddy Arlo.
Yeah, but no, he was not. He was a actor playing a musician.
And what an actor. Like, yeah, he makes the most out of his
small... What a great performance. But that opening scene is so...
Cringeworthy is the word I would use to describe it.
Yeah.
And not because... Yeah. So they do a good job, because it's the cold open, so they do a good job of setting up what the show is going to be about. Or do they? Do they make... No, because that comes in the first... They do a good job of laying the groundwork. They don't have the big twist yet, which I'm sure we'll get to. But
oh, yeah.
What it is, when Carol does the name game song, which is like, if or anyone listening, oh. Like, you know, like...
Frank, bo-bang, banana, banana, bo-bang, D-5, bo-bang, Frank. Carol, Carol, bo-barrel, banana, banana, bo-barrel, D-5, bo-barrel,
which they do in, for a minute, maybe?
She does it for... Her, Karen, Frank, like...
It's horrible. Like, it's actually cringeworthy. Like, I would turn if I wasn't contractually obligated, which, I don't know about if you guys know this, Brett makes you sign a contract to do these.
Yep.
I would have turned it off.
It was...
you have to for theme parks and the like. But yeah, it was horrible. It was
I wrote
very,
that
very
it
bad.
Is... Like, the whole... The opening act to me, the cold open, was them just cashing in on Three's Company.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the 70s... Suzanne Summers played a, you know, bubbly, kind of like silly, doofy, hot, sexy girl. And so they're like, the parents are watching Step by Step because they're like, ah, we remember Chrissy. And so you get this. And so she's playing, like, when she taps into that energy, it's just awkward coming from an older mom character.
Yeah.
Because she was talking about, like, we were going to see Sonny and Cher and, like, the summer. Like, so it's all so.
Well, ABC
weird.
Knows that these are family comedies. So they're gonna be, they need a little something for the parents. But they were good. I know in Step by Step, there was a couple references to Dallas that were very wink-wink. Not in this episode, but just in general.
Apparently, the thing that I learned recently is that Patrick Duffy and Sasha Mitchell played uncle and nephew on Dallas for like two or three seasons.
Well, it also says, because again, I did the very bare minimum research,
as I
lived my life. Yeah. It said on Wikipedia that this character was based on his life. What does that mean?
Which character is whose life?
Cody was based on Sasha the actor's life. I even wrote it.
I find that so hard to believe because I think that he is horrible in this role.
I agree. Well, acting wise, yes. Mitchell's character Cody. This is, I believe, from Wikipedia or IMDb. I think it's Wikipedia. Mitchell's character Cody was based on his personal life experiences. And because it also has the Dallas nugget of info that you said, too.
That's insane.
Well, because, like, we know he was a karate... Like, what's weird about this, and not to, again, jump too far ahead, but there's a fight scene, and he does karate.
Yeah.
He's a legitimate black belt, and his karate moves look like it was me or you doing that.
Yeah.
Like, they were not good.
It's very lame.
Yeah.
So we get the opening credits, which we got to, of course, talk about the opening credits. Now, I realized watching this... If you're watching this on Hulu, I've watched five seasons of this show in like six weeks.
That is
weeks.
Insane.
Like
a, that is
like
legitimately
a, don't,
really insane.
Don't recommend anyone doing that. Don't.
That's like, if hell is ironic, that's where, like, you, that'll be my hell. Like, having to watch shows like that.
I watch, but...
Or torture.
So, by doing that, I learned that there are three different edits of the theme song. So there's, like, the one that is just the man's verse, and then it goes right into the chorus. It skips the entire woman's verse, which... In my opinionation, is the best.
That's
the best. And so the edited version, which is predominantly what Hulu shows in the first like three seasons, that's what it is. And then there's the version I remember, which has the man's verse, woman's verse, chorus done. And then there's what we got in this episode.
All of it, right?
Man's verse, woman's verse, and then a bridge.
Yeah. I don't care for the bridge, but I do agree that the woman's... First of all, the whole song in general, in any iteration, is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is one of... Like,
setting
I think
up
it's,
that premise.
I love a show. I think a show should do this now, especially when there's unlimited time, essentially, with all these streaming...
Yeah, if you're a streaming show,
give us
the full 90...
Give me a minute. We can skip it if we want to.
Yeah, because you're putting that button in my face.
Yeah, which I'm all for as well. But, like, give me an intro that sings what the show is about. Mm-hmm. Because Full House's, you know, theme song gets a lot of... press and like nostalgia wise people love that, and I agree, it's a great song, but Step by Step is as good, if not better, theme song.
I would say it is more relevant to the show than both Family Matters and Full House's theme songs are relevant
in terms of describing what it is about.
Because like Step by Step's theme song is like it's all about the second time around. How does it start?
The dream got broken.
It seemed like all was lost. What will be the future? Could you pay the cost? You wonder, will there ever be a second time?
And I wonder what happened again to the previous husband and wife.
And that the lyrics make it sound like they were dumped. Those seem like dumped lyrics to me.
Okay, even if you're dumped.
If
you are dumped.
My lord, I think I found someone.
But then you don't jump. If you have three kids, you don't jump into a marriage. Like, you meet someone in Hawaii, you don't jump into a marriage.
Selfish.
Like, parents. I think these are... My big take is Carol and Frank are not good parents.
Yeah. And I think that the episode proves it out.
Yes. Well, yes.
So the other thing that in the opening credits... So first of all, Sasha Mitchell is in the opening credits, which I can't remember if that is like a retroactive thing that Hulu or syndication added.
I thought it was second season he was thrown in.
Yeah, so it feels like this might be a like the syndication package like redid the opening credits and put him in there.
Which happens a lot in streaming.
You also get... Oh god, I can't remember. Patrika Darbo and Peggy Reed.
I'm out on both of those two as characters and as human beings, sure. Because I don't remember them at all from Step by Step. They're not canon to me.
It is so weird. I think they're only in the first season. And they are Carol's mom and sister. But I watched all of season one and it was at the end I was like, oh wait, they're her mom and sister. The show does not treat them as such.
Are they used like they were in this episode, which is just two lines?
They never get plot lines, ever.
Smart move to dump them, then.
And they are only in maybe, I think Wikipedia says like they're not in 4 or 6 episodes of season one. So they're not even in every episode of season one. And again,
a huge cast. Yeah,
you have
six kids. And Cody.
And Cody,
already 9.
So, like, the show started out with Carol, Frank, and 6 kids, and then Carol's mom and sister, and then, like, well, we gotta add Cody. Like, oh my god, this
is,
like...
We only got 22 minutes.
So many characters.
With the theme song, it's probably, like, down to 20 and a half.
Well, that's the other thing, is, like, this episode has a 4-minute fight sequence, and then a minute and a half, probably, of a theme song. That's probably a 90-second edit.
And that's the best part of the show, so good job, Step by Step.
Please enhance that. So yeah, the mom and sister we don't even need to talk about because they're gone.
Yeah.
And I did look up their IMDb and they go on to do other notable things.
Great.
So like, they're fine.
So don't worry about that, fans. They're doing okay.
So the episode proper opens with Cody Wallach following Dana Berger, which is how we should, I guess, respond to her.
That is the other thing, I guess, if I would say what's what I remembered about Step by Step beforehand was the Dana Berger thing. Also,
Cody and Dana Berger.
But what I didn't understand then. I remember being very confused about this as a child and very also still confused as an adult, as a nominal adult, is I don't understand how Cody openly wants a relationship with Dana. Like, it's not even, he doesn't even hide that. He makes that known.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not blood related, but they're like, they're essentially brother nephew.
Cousin-in-law.
Cousin-in-law,
right?
Something like that. But regardless, the familial ties are close.
And also, he is... an adult.
Like, probably 25?
She is...
16.
16 or 17.
Yes.
I think there is an 8-year age difference between the actors,
And that's what they kind of they show on the show, that they're...
He's not in college. I mean, he does go back to college later on because he ends up getting a better SAT score than Dana.
I do remember that
episode. Start working all this, like, he's actually, like, some sort of savant, and it's like... Oh, God,
they did that with Zach Morris, too.
Yeah, I don't think so, guys. But he... He's coded as an adult. Code Man is coded as an adult.
Yes.
Code Man could be 18 or 19, maybe. He doesn't look it. He looks a solid 23 or 24 at the youngest.
But do they ever have a scene where Frank's like, hey man, cool it.
She's 16.
And my daughter now.
Like, yeah.
And like you're
never.
At least cousin? I don't know. What,
never. Yeah. So that he's like weird. Following her behind, trying to get her to like his music instead of Arlo Prine's music.
Yeah.
And then she has this amazing line of like,
Cody, write me a song about toxic waste, social injustice, or the greenhouse effect. and I'll listen to it.
That's the character of Dana.
So here's my hot take, and this might be tipping my hand of who my must-see performer is, but I think that Dana is the only good actor on this show.
Oh, see, I had a different take on that, and I had the exact same premise that there's one good actor on this episode, and it was not Dana. Even though I do think she was number two with a bullet for me, but the only reason when she makes that joke about Cody's music, there's like a her timing. I thought it was way. This is very. This sounds like a child snob. Yeah,
but will say she'd already been on a semi-successful multi-camp sitcom at this point.
My two dads.
Yeah, so like.
She's a good actor.
That's true. You know, she has a higher threshold. I don't know. She's
better than all the other. Well, I don't know. Alex is good in this role. She's young.
Alex
too.
Is also very good, but she doesn't have anything to do in this episode.
Karen's atrocious.
Karen's.
I don't care for JT at all.
Mark is fine.
Yeah,
Mark is good.
I will say that was probably the only like legit time I laughed out, or I laughed, or found something genuinely amusing. Was when Dana, so Mark says what, like, he has that line
about...
For
some reason they're having a round robin about, like, everyone's talking about their weekend plans, and his is like, I'm gonna recreate the, like, oh, it's like some M words, like, flower experiment.
Yeah, he did something, like, nerdy, and Dana, like, obviously gives him the business, yeah. And he's like, but he doesn't, he's like...
Get a life. Oh, I have a life. It's just a really dull one.
Like, that's legitimately funny. Goodness, when someone turns it on, it's like, yeah, I know, my life is dull.
I think my only hesitation with Mark is the writing, not the performance. Because he's such a stereotypical nerd character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just a by-the-books, so like, we gotta have a nerd in here. Which is another thing that I've realized watching so much Step-by-Step, is that I was like, hey, at least this show has four super distinct female characters. Like, all of the women have very clear personalities.
Well, they do, and so... Not to get, like, too in the weeds on these characters, but, like, in TV shows, you're taught, especially in the first, couple episodes, to be as broad as possible, and then you give them a little bit of, like, shade and coloring. And that's, like, exactly, Karen is the dumb one. Like, you see, even from this episode,
dumb
you saw no other episodes.
Yeah.
Karen's the dumb one. Alex, right, that's name, Alex.
Tomboy.
Yep, the smart Alex tomboy, and Dana, like, social justice and independent.
Very
and
smart. Kind of,
yeah.
And Carol's, like, kind of, like, a ditzy, like, sympathetic, like, in, like, feelingsy mom.
Yeah.
And, but then, like, the men all have, it's like, Mark and then the others all have the same personality.
Well, I didn't even remember the younger brother existed.
Yeah, Brendan.
Yeah, I'm not.
He doesn't have a personality.
He should go with the ants. I want those three out of here.
JT basically has Frank's personality, and then Cody's like a dumber Frank and JT.
Yeah, I don't like JT, but he's necessary to stir the plot and for like conflict.
Yeah. So the show has has a lot of characters, but not a lot of characters.
Is this the deepest dive anyone has ever done on Step by Step?
Maybe. I think there might be a surprising level of a fan engagement on this show.
For Step by Step?
Well, just because the Wikipedia is upsettingly thorough.
I like when that happens. for like when we have to write about things of Step by Step's nature, when you're like looking for deep dive info, Wikipedia is
like
very
helpful. You go into the Step by Step list of episodes, and like when Cody abruptly leaves the show, they get into the weeds of like, here's this character that was brought in for three episodes to be a replacement for Cody.
Yeah,
it's like,
it didn't work out.
Why do you know this? Like, this is not information that should be preserved for all eternity. The scene we get after that is Dana versus Frank. Like,
oh, that's when she like basically like you're not or, like
they find
really
out that,
takes him to task.
Yeah, this is when they find out that Frank, what's it? Jake's is a bar.
Yeah. Oh, right. So wait. Basically, the way it went was Dana asks Carol to go, and she doesn't say it's a bar. Carol says yes, and then Carol's like, no, actually, later on, she's like, you actually can't go. She waits until the day of, waits until basically Dana's like, oh, everyone knows what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to this concert. I'm really pumped about. And Carol's like, oh yeah, by the way, you can't go to that. And she doesn't, like, they're horrible parents. Because number one, she shouldn't have done that right away. And number two, Dana's like, how dare you? And Carol's like, hey, you just have to learn to live with disappointment. All she had to say was, hey, Dana, you didn't tell me it was
a bar.
Yeah.
And like, that's a very, Dana would still be mad, but it's like Carol would have a much stronger foot to stand on there. Like,
and there's no reason not to do that. Like, there's nothing that happens later on where you couldn't be like, no, you could justify her.
It's a bar. Everyone understands.
Yeah.
A 17-year-old... Because I remember, I mean, this rings true to me, when I was like a freshman or a sophomore in high school. I think it was a freshman in high school. Semisonic came to Nashville, and I needed to see Semisonic, but they were playing at like an 18-and-up bar in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I could not go, and I was so upset.
I love that you had a plot of TGIF happening in your life, and it was with Semisonic, which, like, if TGIF happened... If that was happening... 5 years later, that would be the band that, like,
Corey
and Sean would want to go to.
Gotta go to Semisonic. Oh, they're so good.
They really are. They still hold up. Shout out.
There was... Basically, of course, Dana's of course gonna sneak out.
Yeah.
So the scene cuts to... We can talk about what is the timeline of events. So I
It
is... Yes. So it's Friday... The concert's on a Friday night, right?
Yeah.
Because it's Friday morning when she's told, like, she can't go and stuff.
Or is it Saturday? Because, like, Saturday? Why is no one going to school?
So, yeah, so... Because they're all, like, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
All of them are always hanging out in that kitchen.
It's a nice kitchen.
It's a nice kitchen. Yeah. The set on this show is okay.
Yeah,
it's a
good set. Good job, set designers.
Good set design.
Oh, but the timing.
The timing of it, yeah. It's Saturday morning, and so it's dark. I will say it's November, so it was probably started getting dark around 4 or 5.
Okay.
But the scene of the sneaking out scene happens, and it is pitch black, all the lights are off, and Karen and Dana are sneaking downstairs.
Yeah, I thought it was like midnight, what I initially thought, and then... No, it probably was like 7:30.
Yeah, because what happens after that is, like, Karen goes out to meet a person
for a movie.
Yeah. And also Carol, in the first scene, Carol gives Dana an 11:30 curfew. So we know it's well before 11:30.
Yeah.
So it has to be like 5 p.m. and for some reason, no one's in the kitchen and all the lights are off and they're tiptoeing around.
But then later we see Frank and Carol on the couch, like, watching TV, and so it definitely, well, who knows where they were. They're horrible parents.
Yeah.
And they should have four of their kids taken away.
They're probably boning.
Oh, they probably were boning. That
is true.
That's
what they're, anytime you don't see them,
they're having sex
off screen.
Or they're probably boning in the beauty salon, because that's the kids can't come in. That's, that place was just riddled with...
They never use that set either. You can totally see, like, the initial pitch was like, and then she has a beauty salon connected next door, and her mom and sister work there, and those are all fun. And then when they started doing the show, they're like, oh, we're
that's
never
not practical.
We're never going to use any of this. Because you never see that set, rarely. So Dana has this line to Karen where she says, like,
hey, you didn't pay me anything. Your blood, they're dirt.
I like that though.
It's after Alan JT come in and like catch her sneaking out, and Dana like bribes him, like, I'll give you $5 each.
Well, she first says, I'll give you $1 to not tell, and they're both understandably like, no, you need to give us, how about $5? Alex, great negotiator, and also the love of my life. And she she's like, no, how about $5? And Dana acquiesces because she has to. Yeah, and then Karen's like, hey, I didn't get money for this.
And I love that, like, your blood, their dirt. Like, that open disdain for her step-siblings is just...
She was... Without Dana, that show doesn't get a season 2? Is that fair?
She is the clear, I don't know, antagonist? And, well, she's... There's a crux. You're JT, you're Dana. Like, the show...
God-awful.
Yeah, so, like, Dana's doing a lot of the heavy lifting
when
it comes to charisma and shit. So the next scene, is this when we find... When they go to...
They're at the bar.
Yeah, I think we get the Cody working on the engine scene next, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, later Cody finds out that Dana's at Jake's spot because, like, JT lets it slip.
Yeah. No, he just tells him.
Oh, yeah. Cody is just working in the kitchen
on his engine. As one does on Saturday night. Not a lot, ton of social plans.
Yeah.
Wait, so, yeah, and that's what happens, and then obviously Cody goes to the bar. When he gets to the bar, he keeps saying he's taken.
Hey, you're cute.
Oh, sorry, I'm taken.
Hi.
Oh, sorry, I'm taken.
Is that true? Is that another... Is he have a girlfriend that we just not discussed?
He is lying. He's saying that he's with Dana.
Also, every single girl... Are we allowed to throw an F-bomb?
Yeah, go for it.
Every single girl wants to fuck Cody hardcore as soon as he walks in the bar. Yeah. And he's wearing... Is it a purple, like, hoodie or something
it,
like
he
that?
Looked, it looks like look the good. Kind of thing like a, you know, Colorado early 90s hippie. You know, it's like a loose purple... Like, it has, like, one of those, like, prints on it that looks like it's, like, from Alaska.
And Baggy was in at the time, I can attest to. But still, every girl is 100% in on
Cody.
But,
I mean, look at that face. He's a handsome dude.
But the women who hang out at biker bars are usually into bikers, as we saw from the rest of the episode.
Yes.
But they were very in on Cody.
So let's talk about Jake's. Because exterior shot of Jake's, I was like, this looks like the fucking Mos Eisley space bar in Tatooine. It is like, I wrote down, it's also like a desolate Mad Max bar.
Yeah, they ran out of time. They're like, crap, we need an exterior.
It's like a
we
dirt.
Have 5 minutes.
It's just like a dirt, and then like Jake's, and like a stucco looking like...
And like a biker or two, like just walking around outside.
Yeah. And then the interior of the bar is just a big, well-lit...
Yeah.
Dirty old bar.
As all biker bars are renowned for, their great lighting.
And I noted that in the background is a whole bunch of biker couples slow dancing to upbeat rock and roll.
Yeah, I saw
music.
That too. I didn't care for that.
I was like, why are they all slow dancing?
I will say, actually, just last night, I was at a bar that is not like a bar that have slow dancing. There was just two, or a dancing bar, and two people were dancing for five straight songs. And I was like, what is happening here?
I see that happen at bars all the time, where two super drunk people are just slow dancing to whatever, and it's like, yeah. So I would have bought that in this bar. Like, okay, those two were just off their rocker, and they're fine. But then to have, like, I don't know, five couples all swaying in biker gear, is like, that's...
I wanted to follow that story. Like, forget this one.
Weird ass bar. Dana goes there with Bernice, and fuck Bernice, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, she basically leaves her friend to die.
Yes! So I walk in, Bernice walks in serving First Wives Club realness in that look. Like, she looks like Diane Keaton in the mid-90s. She looks like a businesswoman.
Yeah.
A businesswoman in tan and beige. And then, yeah, immediately when, like, a bar guy throws a beer bottle in.
We came together, we're leaving together. There's no way I'm gonna abandon you in a place like this. Call me tomorrow.
And Dana's like, well, you're my ride. And she's like, well, you know, I'm gonna still leave. Although Dana should have left with her.
Yes.
But still, that is horrible.
Also, Bernie should not have left her behind.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. I wonder if they still hang out after that. Like, what's school like on Monday the next?
That'd be done. So then the way that Carol and Frank find out about it...
Oh my god.
Is Karen sneaking it? Or she's not sneaking it, she's going to the movie.
It seemed very first draft to me.
And then Frank's like, I'm gonna go just like, was he gonna go to apologize to Daniel? Or to like check
he was
in
gonna
on
go,
her?
He's gonna go up to her room and yeah, say he's sorry. Or just check
then
on her.
Karen basically Karen's cover is,
I mean, I'm gonna go up and try and talk to Dana.
No!
why not?
Because she's not in the house.
She left?
No, she didn't leave. She's just not in the house. She's on the house. Yeah, she's on the roof.
So number one, she didn't think that through, because then even if they believed her ridiculous lie or her story, they would go up to the roof to check.
Yeah.
And Karen was very proud of herself for that story. She's I did it. And then they're like, oh, well, you're lying. And then did she go to the bar? And Karen's like, no. Or I'm not going to rat my sister out. They're like, well, you can't go to the movies. She immediately rats her out. Everyone on this show is horrible, is what I'm learning.
The thing
bad parents, bad people, bad manners.
If the show knew they were all horrible, then you have like an Arrested Development. You can have fun with it.
Yeah.
This show is a show where they think they're all good people, but
no,
they're all bad
none
people.
Of them.
And so they're not having any fun with it.
Nobody other than Patrick Duffy, and actually, I guess Cody. I don't know why I keep switching between their actor names and the character names, but those two were noble in this episode. Everyone else was trash. And Patrick Duffy also, no, he was good the whole way through. I don't think he had any bad parenting. That was Susan. Yeah. That was Carol who was terrible. Yeah.
So at the back of the bar, Dana is getting hit on and harassed by a guy named Psycho.
Yeah.
Just really on the nose.
Step by Step is not known for its subtlety.
No subtlety whatsoever. And then basically we get the bar fight.
Should be noted that Psycho appears to be about 30, and again, Dana is 16. No one in the TGIF universe ever cares about, like, the
statutory, right? So here, also, that Dana is also dressed way more dowdy and pure than I think she's ever appeared. She's in that bar wearing, I wrote down she looks like a Scottish Harley Quinn. She's wearing basically, well, it's like a color block thing, but like, it's like black and plaid and then plaid and black.
It doesn't seem like what you'd wear to a concert.
No, and then she's wearing like white pantyhose, like white tights, and then like black shoes. She's dressed like this weird, innocent, kind of like Catholic schoolgirl weird. It's like, she never dresses like that. So why would she wear that to a bar or a concert? And I feel like they're doing that just to like make her seem more pure and vulnerable something. But then again, maybe she's taking fashion tips from Bernice, who is a train wreck.
She's garbage.
Mom clothes. So then we get this fucking ninja bar fight.
No, the bar fight is... Okay.
First of all, it was 4 minutes long. Did it seem longer to you?
I feel like I aged watching it substantially. I will say, you need to, even if you're not going to like watch this whole episode, which I can't recommend that you do, honestly, in good conscience. But the bar fight is ridiculous because So they set Jake's up as like this, you know, place where real lowlives hang out, a biker bar. And the fight is nowhere near like what you would think of. Everyone does ninja moves.
And it's because like Sasha Mitchell took over the Kickboxer franchise from Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes, but he's still horrible.
And Kickboxer 2 came out the summer before in summer 91. So like they got Cody, like, well, we gotta figure out. And this becomes a running thing. Or at least once a season, they figure out some way to work in Kickboxer moves.
But he doesn't look good doing it. And I know he is like a legit black belt, or like he's a...
So there's a lot of like weird shit at play here. Because first of all, who is the stunt coordinator on a sitcom? Like, those can't be the best of the best.
I'm sure someone who's like just from a different department, who they're like, hey, set designer, do you mind also coordinating this fight scene?
So do some kicks. Do some like general kicks at him, but don't ever connect. And just move him to one corner and then move the other way and then throw him in a table.
Well, they spent the whole budget on the fight on the biker who had the pool stick and did some legitimately pretty cool things with the pool. Like, that guy, like, was legit. Everyone else was a garbage fighter. And it didn't look at anything like what you would think of Barbara.
Most of it...
Like.
And the other thing was, so, who's gonna coordinate this? I don't know. And then also, this is airing on a Friday night in the family hour for families.
Yeah.
So it also probably... can't be as violent as it needs to be, or as good as... So
it's, it did still had people going through windows, going through tables.
Yeah, it's also weird that, again, this was... Because if you look back, and like I was saying before we started taping, of like, Dana is in sexual jeopardy right now.
Yes.
She's about to become an SVU episode. This psycho guy...
Yeah, we didn't say that, I don't think, on it. Like, it's like, no, like they're trying, they're her. Going to...
We're just
going to
cut out all that bureaucracy right here and now and leave.
Oh... You can leave, but she stays.
Ow! Let go of me!
Let go of her, dude!
And this... she's like, she's ours. You go, Cody. Yes. We're keeping this woman.
Yeah. And this is a family sitcom. And also, like, spoiler alert for if you want to watch all step by step.
Don't,
this is a show that does this at least two more times. I'm in season 5, and they do this again with Dana, and I think season 3, and then with Al in, like, season 4 or 5. They keep always getting the daughters alone with a sketchy man, and then someone has to come rescue them. They just keep coming
back. Is it always Cody?
Yeah, Cody the first... Both times it's Dana, it's Cody that rescues her. When it's Al, it's Karen.
Oh, good job, Karen.
Yeah, good. Sisters looking out for themselves.
and doing it for themselves.
Yeah. So, like, that's the context of this fight. And then I also noted that most of the interactions between Cody and one of the... It's always a one-on-one bar person.
Yeah.
Bar. It's always that Indiana Jones or Batman scene where it's the person is doing, like, complicated karate moves. And he's like, whoa, and then the good guy just takes him out with, like, a hit.
Yeah. Except, like, push. Cody's thing was, like, he would constantly just, like, compliment them. Like, but, like, in a kind of a passive-aggressive way. Yeah. Like, I don't enjoy Cody. I appreciate what he did for Dana. I don't like that he constantly hits on her because they're essentially related and it's also the age difference.
So gross.
And also, I just don't think he's a very... Like, I think something's going on. I'm talking about Cody the character, not the actor, because that also has
Sasha, Sasha Mitchell was charged with domestic abuse in season 5 of Step by Step.
They took him off the show, which
took
is
him off the show
very impressive
like, immediately. Yeah. And then he was cleared of all charges, but still, like...
Yeah, and I have no idea.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I have no idea what happened in that regard.
So it's like there's sketchiness there. There's an intensus.
But talking about purely Cody, I think there's also a sketchiness.
I don't like. I always say his performance is Brendan Fraser doing a Pauly Shore impression.
I think it's disrespectful to the Brendan Fraser oeuvre to even mention him in the same breath, even though they do have some physical similarities.
Yeah. Well, it's like, Brendan Fraser should be Brendan Fraser. He should not try to be Pauly Shore. So it's, Cody as a character is this weird mishmash of,
it
he
is
looks
like
Brendan Fraser, but he's talking like Pauly Shore, and it's like, none of this makes sense.
That is true. If on the ascent of Encino Man, if those two accidentally stepped into, like, one of those, like, 90s movies where, like, they Freaky Friday, but, like, they got stuck halfway through, that would be Cody.
Yeah.
They're like, uh-oh, we accidentally combined Brendan Fraser and Pauly Shore.
And that's what Cody is, and he's so...
It's a very good point.
And I also think he is the laziest of the breakout TGIF. Like, Kimmy Gibbler,
Jesse... He was a breakout. People liked him.
Step by step cast, he's the breakout.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's what this show is working with.
But wait, but none of them really went on to, like, to do much more after this, actor-wise, right? Even though you would think Dana would.
Dana is now a lawyer.
Oh, good for her.
Mark is now a high school teacher.
Wait, Mark is?
Yes.
Oh, good. And Lakin,
she's actually on a show currently with Jodie Sweetin and,
Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven.
Right, yeah.
And she was good, like, everything I've seen her in, like, where she, like, she has comedic chops.
Yes, she's very good. She's good on this show. Didn't see this, not... But like JT quit acting. Sacha Mitchell still does a lot of stuff, but you don't see it. His IMDb is pretty stuffed.
Yeah, but did you see the end of his IMDb, which it has to be, it's his bio, and it has to be written by him.
Oh.
The very end of it says, the last paragraph, the first sentence is, now even more beefed up, he is the proud father of 3 daughters and 1 son and continues to make movies.
Now even more beefed up? He definitely wrote that. He's like, I'm doing that thing where older men bloat out. I have to excuse this.
He's also a certified welder, in case you guys are wondering about that.
So, the 4-minute fight ends with Carol throwing what we find out is Arlo Prime.
Hey! Frank! What? Ah! Oh! Ah!
Carol, that was wonderful.
That was Arlo Prime.
It's like, it's Arlo Prime, and he does some, like, big, broad, like, ooh, boy, and, like, falls over.
I also just didn't understand, so, like, there was confusion in the middle of the episode, like, where Dana's like, wait, is Arlo actually performing here? And no one knew.
No one knew.
And they don't really do a great job of explaining it, because they do have a line that's like, yeah, I guess his comeback isn't going all that well, so that's why he'd be playing this bar.
Yeah.
But, like, we don't see a stage set up for music, number one. And
there's
even if he would have performed, like, those bikers were not going to be on board.
That's bad. So, like, Dana... Yeah. So, I guess, hey, this is the, 1991, not any social media.
Yeah.
He can't tell his Twitter followers, hey, come to Jake's.
Yeah.
So it's like, how's the word getting out?
That's true.
But you couldn't even go to a website. How would you know that Arlo Prine is coming to town?
In the 90s.
I don't find out about concerts in the 90s.
Yeah, like, have to call. Like, I know, like, sometimes, like, Ticketmaster had, like, and here's what's coming up.
Yeah, wow. Oh, I guess you'd have, like, here's the Starwood Amphitheater schedule, and you would look at that. And be like,
yeah, or the local paper.
Yeah,
the local paper would have stuff. Weird. And, like, radio ads and radio interviews.
Oh, radio. I think radio probably it. So there's probably, like, the college station or, like, the, adult alternative stations probably advertising your Arlo Prine concert. Not bringing in the people, though.
Folk singer extraordinaire, right? He's a folk singer, I think they say.
Yeah, I mean, he sings about toxic waste, social injustice in the greenhouse. What a snooze fest. Ugh. So then we get the required, like, learn the lesson scene.
Oh, see, you're sighing. That was my... I was in. I was in on Patrick Duffy.
He's good.
I thought he was good.
The Carol half of that was like...
Oh, she should have... Not even, they should just cut that scene. Like, Carol was like, you're grounded for 6 years, which makes no sense, because we were trying to figure out her age.
So, there's, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, like, how this worked. Because, like, Carol's arc in this episode is, I made a mistake with my daughter, and then I was not firm with her, and then I yell at her. I feel like Carol should have gotten the...
Duffy moment?
Yeah, like, she should have gotten, like, listen, I should have been firmer with you, I should have, like, not led you on, it was wrong of me to, like, not...
Yeah.
I should have... Because she was afraid of her daughter, which is kind of a weird...
But here's what I find kind of fascinating about 90s TV, is that I'm sure in, like, on the writer's room, not sure, but what I would guess in the writer's room Blackboard is, like, this is a Frank and Dana Bond episode.
Yeah.
And so the way they went about doing it insane to me. But that's why I think, like, the Carol stuff, she's horrible, but it's like, it doesn't matter. They're mom and daughter. That's going to be fine.
Their relationship's
fine. But, like, the weird thing, like, you know, you hear the word nuanced a lot with TGIF, but the fact that, like, Frank says to Dana is like,
I am not used to being a stepfather. In a lot of ways, it's harder than being a father. With my own kids, it's black and white. I'm their dad. They have to listen to me. With you, well, there's a lot of gray. There's a ton of gray. It's all gray.
Okay, look, I actually kind of enjoyed that. Like, there's a little bit of nuance. Duffy nails it as per usual.
Well, and they almost hug. When
I like that moment, too, because...
Good. Yeah, that was good.
Because that's, like, if I'm writing that, I'm like, hug, let's have a nice moment, but it's only episode 8. Like, that's a story you can't go too far too fast. That's for season 2.
There is, like, a good thing that this show does, which I'll give it this, is that by season 4, my season, like, 4 or 5...
Are they a family?
Well, Al, Karen, and Dana are all BFFs.
Okay.
And Al isn't as much of a tomboy. She's still very snarky and very, like, dry and, like, she's still the same personality, but she's not much... She dresses more feminine,
Yeah.
But... I do like that they become friends, and they hang out together all the time, which is why when, like, Karen is the one that saves her in her sexual jeopardy episode.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is a really cool progression of those characters that I would not think they're gonna ride those adversaries for all 8 seasons or whatever.
Right.
But the fact that they actually allowed Al to become friends with the other two is good. But then Brendan disappears and Mark and JT don't change.
Are Mark and JT become friends?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
so far, no. The only noticeable character change is Al is now friends with Dana and Karen. And that's it.
Hey, you gotta do it step by step.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's also good because the stereotype is like, well, girls are always like backbiting and catty. It's like, oh no, the three girls are the one that actually end up getting along.
Yeah.
The three boys are still dicks. So the whole time that Frank is having this talk with Dana, he's holding a thing of ice cream. And then they do, like, he gets out the ice cream. They have a whole scene. And then right before Dana goes up, he's like, hey, that was really, you have good mean hook or whatever. You're really good with punching. Does your hand hurt? And he's like, no, it's fine. It's like they remind the audience.
Oh, that's what I was going to say that to you, because that's
a good reminder.
It is a very good reminder, because like I probably actually would have forgot. Like I didn't see where it was going until he said that line, oddly enough. I mean, not that I'm like really being trying to like go forward on the
we're gonna get step by step spec.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
You're like trying to, what's the artistry here? What's the beats? Break it down.
But yeah, when she says that and he's like, oh no, I'm fine. And I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. He's gonna obviously use the cold surface to help his hand. But no, he goes Two things I like about this. One, he goes right into the ice cream, which is, again, comical and not realistic, because you wouldn't ruin all the ice cream. You would just use it on the outside.
Yeah.
But he goes right in, and they have the ice cream very melted, and so, like, just ice cream just flies out.
Splooges out all over the
place. It's a good visual, because, again, TGIF, not Stan, does not have the word subtlety in the title.
So what is, any other final thoughts about Just for Kicks before we move on to the, like, facts and trivia section?
Yeah, it was not a good episode. I did not enjoy it. I do not recommend watching it other than the fight scene, which is comical and long and weird.
It's a good way to put it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, ratings for this episode, 24.8 million people watched this episode of television.
Community never got a 20% of that?
The Office, Office.
They had some high episodes.
But on average, it's like 8 million.
Yeah. But that was, again, a time where, also, I mean, that's a whole other episode. Like people.
That was the first show that became a hit through like iTunes downloads and things like that.
Where they didn't, NBC wasn't, they became a little bit more savvy to it, but that was the first show.
So 24.8 million people, where do you think this episode was ranked for the week?
How many shows, like, usually do they do for the Nielsen?
Oh, it's probably like 100 or so.
Right.
Like 120.
Oh, yeah, because Dave Holmes has been doing that thing for Insider, where they look at those ratings. That's, which is always fascinating to see where they all stacked up. Where did it rank for the week? 24? I would say in like the 20, like 20s, 20 to 30?
It was number 31.
Oh, look at that.
Number 31 was tied with Rescue 911.
Oh, another classic 90s staple. What was number one that week?
The top five shows of that week were Murphy Brown at 5, 4 Cheers,
definitely.
3 Empty Nest.
Hey, not, I mean, granted, I only remember the show on very broad strokes, but
yeah.
Great theme song as well.
2 Roseanne, 1 60 Minutes.
Oh, 60, no.
60 minutes 60 is a juggernaut of the
radio. It really was,
it's
yeah.
It's crazy. So on IMDb, 34 users gave this episode a 6.6 out of 10 rating.
Did you, did you go to, does it have like Amazon where they have actual reviews?
They do for the series, but not for the episodes. So I should look into that. That could be fun. Would you say 6.6 is higher, lower, or is that right on the money?
That's a little high for my likings.
I think I would say, I think 6.6 sounds fine.
No, I would, even if I'm being objective, I would give this probably like a 4. And I feel that's being generous. Like, if I'm being subjective, I'd give it a 1. No, I give it like 1.5 or 2.
So we already talked about that, and Patrick Duffy played Sasha Mitchell's uncle on Dallas.
Yeah.
Sasha Mitchell starred in Kickboxer 2, The Road Back, in the summer of 91. So the ABC TGIF lineup when this aired was Family Matters, Step by Step, Perfect Strangers, and Baby Talk.
I like that. I remember liking that when it was on. Scott Baio. And George Clooney was on for a little bit?
So Baby Talk was loosely based on Look Who's Talking.
Yes,
it was adapted by Ed Weinberger, who was one of the main guys behind MTM and Mary Tyler Moore Show. It was originally titled Look Who's Talking, but then they had to change the name because the sequel was coming out. They didn't want to confuse people. Tony Danza voiced the baby.
Yep.
In season one, George Clooney played the single mom's love interest, and Julia Duffy from Newhart was the mom. And then in season two...
Yeah, they had a hard reboot in season two, I remember.
Season two was Scott Baio replaced the Clooney character, and Mary Paige Keller replaced Julia Duffy.
I was very much in, I remember, on Baby Talk before seeing... Like, I don't remember anything other on it. Like, I don't even remember Clooney being on it. I know he was, but I don't remember it. But I remember being excited for it.
So let's look, 20-something years later at where they're... So, like, recently... George Clooney in the news because he did a really insightful, informative interview with David Letterman on My Next Guest Needs No Introduction on Netflix, which everyone should watch. Scott Baio in the news
for
allegedly molesting or sexually assaulting all of the children on Who's the Boss?
Charles in Charge.
Oh, Charles in Charge, yeah.
Yeah.
So, look where the lies go.
TGIF, man. There should be an oral history that I would read cover to cover on the first day it came out on the ABC television lineup from like the late 80s to the mid 90s.
It's a dynasty.
Yeah.
Who had the must-see performance in this episode?
I don't disagree with Dana, but I would say Patrick Duffy because I love...
Yeah, that end is good.
I will say, like, I'm a sucker for a coda on a story. And so, like, you know, the, I am. Like,
him, lesson
like,
learned.
Them having the incremental growth in their relationship and not hugging, I appreciated that. Yeah. I was like, good job, guys.
Good. I am going to go with Dana because I think that she just gets better as the series goes on.
She's a good actress.
This is the thing. As a child, you love Kramer. You love Cody.
Yeah.
As an adult, you're like, Elaine.
Oh, Dana. Yeah. Yes. Very good point.
Adults, like, find different characters to latch onto. And I think an adult watching Step by Step, if you're going to, you will appreciate the performance of young, what is her name?
Her real name? I have no idea.
Dana Berger. Fuck.
Yeah, she's also on Boy Meets World on the crossover episode.
I know her name. Whatever. You know what? It's fine.
She's a lawyer now. She's doing good. She got out of the biz.
Must other people see this episode?
Oh, no. I would say absolutely not.
I even think if you're going to watch an episode step by step, don't watch this one.
Watch the pilot, I guess, because, like, pilots are always fun to see.
Obviously I'm going to say this. There are two or three episodes where John Astin guest stars. Watch those. Because anytime John Astin Gomez from the Addams Family, one of my favorite...
I didn't know who that was, by the way. I was just going to be like,
one of my favorite actors of all time. Anytime he guest stars on a show, he just out-acts everyone on it.
Oh, wow. That must be really difficult, considering the murderer's row you have at Step by Step. but also, wait, doesn't Balky join the series?
Yes, apparently, like, which I haven't gotten there yet, but he comes in for a season, like season 7, and he plays like I'm pretty sure like an effeminate hairdresser, which I am sure has aged very well.
Oh, I cannot imagine.
So now we're going to move on to a new segment that I'm still loving doing called From the Big Book of Sitcoms.
Ooh.
So I'm going to flip through this.
We should pause for the theme music of it.
I need to commission all that. So I'm going to flip through this. Tell me when to stop, and then we're going to discuss one of these one-season wonders.
This book is only filled with one-season shows?
It's basically every sitcom that ever aired from 1949 to 1983.
How do you know it's only going to be one season, though?
Majority of them are these, like, one-season blurbs.
Okay.
And then, like, if they're a bigger show, they have, like, a couple pages, but it has, you know, hundreds of sitcoms that aired from, you know, 49 to 83.
It goes chronologically, so down here will be the later ones, because I don't know a ton about the 70s, probably the 80s.
So tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. So you want to hear?
Still 78.
Do you want to hear about the Tony Randall Show or A Year at the Top?
Ooh, A Year at the Top.
Sitcom mogul Norman Lear and music maven Don, parenthetical rock concert, which I guess was something, Kirshner, teamed up on this sitcom all about the music business. Oh, well, not all about the music business. How much could you fit in just 5 weeks? Oh god, that was a short run. Anyway, this was a summer series that kept being delayed and delayed because of production and conceptual troubles. It was originally supposed to have run in January with a totally different cast. It was about two young pop singers who were looking for fame and fortune. Greg Evigan and Paul Schaefer moved to L.A. from Boise, Idaho, and were looking for an agent to help them get their big break, which, as it turned out, was certainly not being on this show.
Wait, hold on a second. Paul Schaefer starred on this show?
Yeah!
So this would have been... Was he
this
in the original...
This is 76, 77, so he...
Did he do... Was he with SNL?
SNL after this, I think.
Yeah, I guess it would have been. Because that was just 76 is the first year.
They did manage to find Frederick J. Hanover, played by Gabriel Dell, who'd been the original owner of The Corner Bar, which is a sitcom from earlier in the 70s that was notable for having a gay character in it. Who was sort of the Kirshner-esque in that he was known for discovering and creating music stars. He offered them a contract, but there was a catch. Hanover was the son of the devil. And if they wanted a year at the top as stars, they had to sign away their souls, not to mention all royalties. Greg and Paul never actually signed. CBS quickly renamed this show 5 Weeks at the Bottom.
Wait, hold on.
Which is a funny joke on the fact that it's Tyler's year.
No, that I get. But
so the premise of the show...
The devil's in the show?
The devil is a character.
How do you know? How is the title not, like, play on that? Yeah. That's like, they put that at the very end.
Devil's in the details.
Bury the lead.
Yeah, I love that this book is written by Rick Mitz.
But, you know, it does stand to something that happens today. Almost any show, I think it's very difficult if a show is delayed because of production. Or no, production maybe. Anything that's conceptual, that show's it has so much work ahead of it to, I'm thinking of what was the NBC show, the superpower show that just came out? Not just came out, but a couple months ago.
Was it Powers or Powerful? Or
it's yes, that
with Depowered. Vanessa, Powerless.
Yes,
Vanessa Hudgens, Danny Pudi.
They changed like what that was going to be about.
Yeah,
kind of like in the midway through, and it just
and they got different showrunners at one point. Like
when that happens, it's almost like you hear about shows where they like this happened with the Dane Cook show where there's like. We're not going to air this. It didn't work out to what we wanted it to be or whatever. That was Stephen Falk and also a ton of great writers. I think that was more with NBC changing directions. But this was with the Powerless show. Let's change the concept a little bit or let's tweak it. That's never going to work. And that seemed like that lesson was learned in the 70s, guys. Yeah. Probably the 60s too.
It's funny, like what would Paul Schaefer's life have been like had A Year at the Top become a success? Because if he... doesn't do SNL. Does he then get with David Letterman?
Who knows?
At the start of Late Night, and then
no. Who's the Paul Schaefer then in that tandem?
This book is amazing because it's filled with all these things. Like I want to watch that. I want
to
see.
I would love to see. You know, like especially in this digital age, like all these old shows. I wish they could put them up somewhere. Like that should be a new streaming site where I mean, only nerds like us. But like, wait, I want to see this one season wonder of a show.
Honestly,
that
it's like
I've
a thing Hulu should do. It's like here's just
So you know that we were just talking about that George Clooney being on Letterman. I wrote about the Clooney show that he talks about.
Oh right, yeah, where he was a rock star
Chico
slash
something. It's insane. But just I think this weekend or whenever, I'm not sure when this is going to air. Someone put it on YouTube because people were writing about it. So it was on, and someone, I can't remember where, but someone wrote about it. Like they actually got to watch the show and maybe it's still on YouTube. I'm not sure. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but that's what we should have. One of these old shows, like a 90s George Clooney, rocker cop where he plays, cop by, or undercover detective by day, rocker by night. Put those on. I want to see all 11 episodes of that.
Who has the rights to them? It's probably all like tangled
up. But you could throw them on YouTube, I feel. Yeah. Right? Like, that show came out 35 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, good on you, A Year at the Top.
Yeah, nice job.
Lovely 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk specifically about Step by Step?
Oh, please contact me on all your Step by Step questions. I guess on Twitter, @ Josh Sorokach, Sorokach, or undecided.com. I'm usually...
/author/...
I mean, guys, you can figure it out. If you Google my name, I'll pop up. It's in, I'm sure, the description of the episode.
Are you the only one? Do you have good Google placement?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've Googled myself in years, so I have no idea what comes up. I assume it's like my Twitter would come up.
Yeah.
But, or Decider, probably.
Yeah.
But, my name is pretty uncommon, so you'll be able to find me, guys.
Wait, I'm trying to think. Has there anything, been anything good you've written lately that you want to plug specifically?
No. Just kidding.
You have a really good Boy Meets World Super Bowl thing.
You, if you are a fan of Brett's podcast, this was an episode of Boy Meets World where Sean Hunter, Mr. Feeney, told him he had to get tickets to the Super. He had to sneak into the Super Bowl, essentially. He couldn't get tickets. They were sold out. And I always thought it was crazy. And they never, at the end, it shows that Sean, it's revealed that Sean was in, he got to the Super Bowl, he got in, but they never explained how. So I was writing about it and even got Michael Jacobs to basically do fan fiction for me. Yeah. Creator of Boy Meets World. He emailed me what happened. So if you're interested to know how Sean got into the Super Bowl, that article is on Decider.com.
Live it up!
Yeah.
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Josh Sorokach, for dropping by and talking about Step by Step with me this week. Next week on the show, I will be discussing the 1953 to 1955 sitcom Life with Elizabeth, which is only notable because it was Betty White's first sitcom. Whoa! You can watch this nowhere. You can probably go on YouTube and search for Life with Elizabeth, and there might be some clips. Or you can go to a dollar store and find a DVD. But you can check that out. We're basically going to be diving deep into a TV legend's first sitcom on an exploratory episode. Until then, I want to hear from all of you. Tweet your questions about sitcoms to @MustHaveSeenTV or send them to MustHaveSeenTV@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr and @MustHaveSeenTV. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review the show in iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and @BrettWhite. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. The theme song you hear right now is Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team. Thank you to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to everyone for listening. And I'll see you next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.